Welcome back, world enders and dead men's chests, whose stranger tides tell no tales, to another cursed black pearl swirling and sword twirling episode of Dead Men Roll No Crits. This is your Johnny Depp inspired GM Patrick here, and joining me in playing arguably the worst pirates I've ever heard of, my four friends, and your players, Jabertacus, Rebeccar, Sethly, and Tylerario. Hello.
But you have heard of us.
I changed up your names. Aye, indeed. Have you guys been on the ride? But... Sethly. Yeah.
What up?
Have you been on the Pirates of the Caribbean ride, Tyler? Have we talked about it?
Yeah. I don't know if we've talked about it, but I have been on the ride, but it was before my piratical renaissance. Oh. So I look back on it fondly, but I was like a
was that your sexual awakening to pirates?
that was before Johnny Depp was like on the ride.
Huh.
So we
call those the dark years.
Hold on,
the
dark Disney years. World or Disneyland?
Land.
I've never been to.
I gotta imagine they're
West Coast, so that's ride. What we had access to. We weren't gonna fly. You know, I was a kid, so they weren't gonna like.
Yeah, that makes sense. I have been on both pre Johnny Depp and post Johnny Depp versions of the ride, and it's very fun to go back and then see Jack Sparrow popping up every once in a while, and you're like, hey, look.
Hey.
I have to admit, I was a little angry that they added Johnny Depp initially, but now I kind of like it. Like, I've been enough.
It's a legacy.
Yeah, I'm used to it now. And really, at this point, Pirates of the Caribbean movies are like vintage. So, you know.
Whoa.
It was like 20 years ago.
Whoa. No, I think the first one, did come out more than 20 years ago. So. Yeah.
Fun fact, the song that is in the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. So whenever I put my daughter down for sleepy times, I only sing sea shanties. That's what I sing to her until she falls asleep. And the first one is always what she calls the Yo-Ho song, and it is the song in the ride, the Yo-Ho, Yo-Ho, Pirate's Life for me. So there's a fun family fact for folks.
I want to, you got to record some of these bedtime song sessions. I want to hear them now.
Yeah, I'll do a live bedroom session one of these days. I'll bring my mic and recording equipment in there.
Alrighty, you guys ready to get into it? This is episode 174 of the podcast, book 6 of Skull and Shackles. Yo, ho, indeed.
Yeah, we have to sail quite a ways, so I imagine this whole episode is just going to be sailing.
Yo, oh, no, it's like a day and a half.
Yeah. Are we going to need to collect wood, and does our ship have a stamina bar? That was my question.
You just have to keep constantly making repairs. It's like, well, there's another leak. hammer and nail sounds. Like sawing. No, this week's episode indeed sees the small combined fleet of Tessa Fairwind leading the crew of the Tidebreaker out to Drenchport, to the far northern isles of the Shackles, closest to the ever-fixed hurricane known as the Eye of Abednego. And we watch here as the ships arrive at the massive port in the twilight of the day, as you see setting sail against the Hurricane King's wishes here. The small flotilla is sailing into an all-gray sky, as it seems like the last embers of light to the west are blocked out by storm clouds and light misting rains. But as you draw closer, even from afar, you can tell tragedy has struck the isle, for there are pillars of gray smoke rising from the port, as the rain it doesn't seem strong enough to perhaps quell still smoldering flames, perhaps at a day or so before. Indeed, the waters of the port of Tempest Cay, as you sail inside the harbor, you see bits and pieces of ships floating in the detritus of war. But the remains of the largest ship, perhaps, in the bay, that of the Kraken, the flagship of the Master of Gales, is mostly intact, but has sunken to rest on the bottom of the bay here. Maybe just some of its masts kind of sticking out of the water. As you approach the docks, the city seems still, save for these rollicking plumes of smoke. But indeed, on the dock, you see at least one person kind of flagging you down. They're waving what looks like a red flag.
A red flag? Honto, fire one of the front harpoons at that man.
There's dozens of more qualified people for the task.
He wants you to commit murder.
I only trust Honto to make such a shot.
Do we know what a red flag indicates? Is that a cultural thing or
blood?
Oh, just saying like someone's hurt or
perhaps. Yeah, black flag is like we can go and take your stuff, and white flag is please don't take our stuff.
Red flag is we are very hurt.
Someone took our stuff and also our kidneys.
Someone took our stuff.
we count our kidneys as stuff.
Yeah, that's stuff.
All right.
When I leave the house, I'm like, all right, I got my keys, my wallet, my phone, my kidneys.
Aw, dang, where's my kidneys?
It's pretty easy to turn a white flag into a red flag.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, somebody just has to take your stuff first.
You just need the will. The will to do it. No, as you get closer, get towards the dock here, you see what looks like a pirate who has bandages over his eyes. Looks like clumsy rags covering his perhaps lidless visage and a number of other wounds. And he's just kind of like, he looks completely exhausted, just like waving this flag up and down.
Aye, we see your flag there, sailor. You can stop waving it.
Oh, what? Who goes there?
This is the pirate lord, Cassius Vell and crew. What's happened here?
They came on the storm's edge and attacked. They bade me stand here and wave this flag until help came. There's but one of those who caused this who remains in the city, and they said they left the drowned dwarf intact for you to meet there.
He kind of like almost collapses on the dock and just like takes a knee.
The drowned dwarf? Do we know who he's referring?
The most famous tavern in all of Drenchport, of course.
Cassius will maybe wave Bartleby or somebody over to take care of this man.
Bartleby's on it. Yeah.
And then we'll gather up a team and I guess head into Drenchport.
As you're getting ready, you see this guy kind of like, as Bartleby comes over to him, he like grabs Bartleby by the rappels and kind of like clings to him. He's like, oh,
be careful. They came in strong. Their warships, they outnumbered us. And we tried to fortify the city, but devils flew from the sky, flew right over the Kraken and attacked.
He's gone mad, Captain. He's gone land mad.
You've been land on land mad. Too.
He's
too
been
long.
On land for too long, and he went crazy for it.
You hate to see it.
Yeah. Happens more often than you think.
Throw him in the ocean.
Throw him in the ocean. That's the only way to cure it.
Tessa Fairwind comes on land as well and joins you and says, at least perhaps some have survived here. Maybe we'll find more survivors at the drowned dwarf. Imagine this is some sort of emissary, perhaps left behind. Let us go meet with him, Cassius. Do you have some crew that you trust with you, perhaps to protect us?
I'll bring the ones with the biggest muscles, or the ability to transform into something that has the biggest muscles.
A dragon,
Captain.
Oh,
you're always on this,
Alaris, man. You need a lozenge or something, Captain Alaris. Oh wait, that was Sharka. Sorry,
she has COVID. Patrick, be sensitive.
Oh, yeah, no, our most capable fighter.
Yeah, Fairwind tells gets like a couple of search parties, and everyone else protects the ship that's made landfall here. But she tells them to be wary of traps, look for survivors, kind of fan out and do what you can here. She punctuated, so it's like,
we don't know what sort of devilish tricks these Chelish have in store for us. Let us away, Captain Cassius. We'll see to this parley and perhaps the messenger they've left behind.
Indeed, as you walk down the main avenue here, it's not long, maybe a quarter mile or so into the mostly burnt remains of the buildings here. Like their stone kind of facades remained, but just about everything else has succumbed to flame. But you do find the perhaps infamous bar, the Drowned Dwarf, almost entirely intact. There's some, you know, maybe light singeing, scorch marks, a little bit of external structural damage, but it looks indeed as there's destruction all around it. It was purposefully spared being set ablaze. As you walk inside, you see, you know, maybe some signs of trouble. There's like tables and chairs upturned and kind of pushed against one of the far walls of the establishment. The wooden plank floor is the center of the room is completely cleared out, and what seems to take up this area now is a huge magical circle outlined in what looks like powder, blood, candles, rimmed with candles. And indeed, that beyond the circle, you see a huge bar behind which you see two female dwarves who look like they're in pretty rough shape. There's bruises and bandages showing. Perhaps they did not go down without a fight here. The sole other person in the entire building is what looks like a cloaked figure at the bar, kind of idly sipping a drink.
Cassius will walk in, and place is a tad quieter than perhaps I am used to the last time I visited. Although I can't say I don't like what you've done with the place. Very fun little mystique you have going on.
He kind of slowly turns around on the bar stool as he's holding his drink and raises it to you as you walk in and says, "Ah,
I bid you welcome and salutations from my mistress, the Admiral Drevalia House Thrune. She's retained me to stay behind and open channels of communication with any and all members of the pirate rabble, especially once Captain Cassius,"
and kind of points to you, "and Captain Alaris," and points to Tessa Fairwind.
I imagine that be one of you all. Am I correct in that assumption?
You have us pegged quite well, mate.
Tessa looks over. He's like, "Aye, that's me, Alaris Deldkaren. That is right.
As you are known, aye.
Kren, that's me.
Bellbringer.
That's the name my father gave me.
As I call him, Daddy.
Daddy Bellbreaker.
Daddy Bellbreaker, they call him. I call him."
The guy gets up from the stool, but holds his drink and says,
"My name is Threstos, Archmage of House Thrune. And well, I've been sitting here for quite some time, by my count, 2 days, drinking this local delicacy crafted by the two dwarven sisters, Lelkhelmer here. Black kelp beer, they call it. So I apologize, I'm a little drunk, but
it's fine. It's our fault for taking 2 days to get to ye, right?
If you wanted to nip off and go take a nap and come back, I wouldn't mind, but we have business to attend to. You all see before you this ritual circle. Our Admiral Thrune has bid me invite any that wish to meet on neutral ground to an immaterial plane to speak, to talk terms, perhaps exchange prisoners."
Can we make a sense motive check on this fella?
Yeah,
this is some suspicious stuff.
It's a perception check. What's your perception bonus?
My bonus is 26.
I rolled okay, so I have to do math.
Mm-hmm.
I was really hoping just roll like duty. Yeah, obviously this guy seems to have a film to him, an evil slime. The neutral ground bit doesn't seem exactly to ring true in your ear. Mm-hmm. Do you want to make a dope? I would say either an arcane or occult check to inspect these runes.
Not ideal at either of those. Let's see. Yeah, I've got a plus 17 to both. So
Sharga has arcana.
How much?
Oh, go for it, Sharga.
23.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I have gossip lore. Anybody gossiping about
Kana?
Arcana.
I've rolled 2 19s for you guys so far. I don't like zero rolls, so you're doing all your own rolls from now on. Yeah, as Sharga is looking over these runes, perhaps you've seen the language before, like different abyssal runes, but these do seem to be transposition runes that seem to not be teleportation, but transmutation of the soul via astral projection. So you would be projecting kind of a consciousness into another realm, Matrix style. Your bodies remain behind.
Does Sharga understand the risks of doing so?
That's another good question. I think it is also Matrix rules. I want to thank the Wachowskis for coming up with a completely original idea. No one else has ever done it. But if you take damage and or die in the mental plane or wherever you're going, your body can die in the real world.
Oh.
Okay, but okay. also, your body could be attacked while you are in that mental stasis.
What kind of monster would do that, Rebecca? Are you saying that I'm...
that happened in the Matrix?
Okay, shut up.
I mean, yeah, that was like the whole thing in the first movie. Yeah, yeah.
I was there when it was written in theaters. I don't have giant squid robots, though, to send after the Nebuchadnezzar. So, there.
Fair.
Got no, that going for you.
You only have a Chelish navy that's like hiding in the floorboards.
No, do you bring this up to the crew, to Tessa and Cassius?
Yes,
Sharga has information. This is weird.
And especially, I mean, I feel like Sharga would be very concerned about the safety of Cassius if he is going to go through with this. She cannot protect him in both realms. So where does Sharga stay or go to adequately protect her leader?
Tessa offers up, you know, she can stay behind and guard you and says, you know, I'll also put my blade to this one's throat. The second, if I see your eyes twitch, I'm going to cut his head off. Indeed, Threstos says, it will be neutral ground and the Admiral is there to talk terms. Perhaps of the coming conflict, I can't tell you what she has in store, but she says she has an offer to make you all in person, so to speak, and she needs only to speak, and hopefully, perhaps, there will be a more reasonable resolution before the conflict gets out of hand. If you can agree, then we can get along with it whenever you're ready, and if you decide against it, well, I'll be on my way. No longer darkening these fine ladies' establishment, though I will tell you I have been tipping very well. I've recently come into a great amount of fortune, you could say. Regardless, please speak amongst yourselves. Let me know what you choose.
Cassius will turn around and just say, I really don't feel like we have much of a choice here.
Tessa says, no, we have a plenty of choice. This is obviously a horrific sounding trap, but I must say I am intrigued regardless. I've never known the Chelish to deign to parley with pirates before, but I've not heard much of this Drevalia Thrun, save she's like third in line, perhaps, for the crown of Cheliax.
Also, the Tidebreaker way has never been to not spring a trap, so I kind of feel like culturally we're kind of on the hook here.
Yes, I know this.
Are you still alive?
Am I muted?
No, sorry.
Nope.
Oh, okay.
I just want to talk over each bird all the time. What did you say? Or you might have cut out a second there.
Nah, that's fine. Go ahead.
It did sound like you like started mid sentence. So.
No. Okay.
Captain, I am well acquainted with this Drevalia Thrun. I wish to see her face once more. We should take this opportunity.
Like I said, our hands are tied here. I really have no choice but to go hear her tempt me, probably with money and status, and hopefully I will be able to resist it. Just kidding.
She's like, what if I gave you gold to surrender?
Well, lay down your arm. Wait, how much gold are we talking about?
Money?
You never said I could be rich. If you can hit me number, then I'll lay down my arms right now.
1 billion gold.
Okay, well, this is the last you've seen of old Cassius.
Set sail in like a very low waterline ship.
Wait, do I have to pay taxes on that?
I mean, this is a pirate campaign, so probably not. Maybe you might have to tithe. No, depending on where you settle, you might have to tithe. Could be some tithing. Is that the same as taxes? Yeah, you just go in the jungle and just bury it all. They can't take that away from you, Tyler.
No, they can't. Or I'll take all of that money and invest it in Beanie Babies. And then watch my investment triple.
Real. Real topical there. All right. So, yeah, if you guys agree to the ritual, Threstos will finally put his drink down and bid you all kind of have a seat within this occult circle. Indeed, perhaps he directs you to take care to not scuff the blood on the ground, the fine powder. But indeed, he kind of like, just with a flick of his wrists, kind of lights up the candles around the circle as you have a seat. He has a seat cross-legged. Looks like he's getting comfortable and kind of bids you all to do the same. And eventually, you know, he does some evil yoga stretches, gets ready before getting comfortable and begins to chant in Abyssal, kind of calling on different profane powers to embolden him. As he does so, runes begin to alight beneath his skin, glowing red, and kind of the same ones around the edge of the circle light up at the same time. And after a while, you'll begin to sense the drowned dwarf around you just kind of dimming and fading out before eventually the room is just completely plunged in darkness around you. And the candles are still lit up. You can see them in the circle, but the walls, the floor, the ceiling of the bar all disappear. And those candles are only lighting up your bodies here in kind of a void. And eventually, from said void begins to materialize what seems like wet gray earth beneath you as a fine silver mist begins to fill what seems like perhaps sodden swamp. Indeed, the entire world around you comes into being in different shades and tones of gray. And you look down at your clothes, your armor. It seems like just about all color has been drained from your person. Like a classic movie.
Reverse Wizard of Oz, right?
Yeah, a better Wizard of Oz. You're right, Rebecca.
Going cooler from Munchkin Wizard of Oz. Back to Kansas. Okay, got it.
Indeed, it looks kind of, the world looks kind of like a big, you're in a big storm cloud or fog bank that seems to stick everywhere and seemingly diffuses light from no direction, but every direction kind of all at once. So shadows seem to be cast in all directions, but also don't stick anywhere. So, you know, like try to like pretend that there are shadows, but they kind of flit in and out of existence as you try to make them. You see, Threstos is still here, and he says,
"Right, sorry, you will have to walk a ways from here. The meeting is down this hill forward."
He kind of points a bony finger that way. That way.
Here, off to see Javalia, the wonderful Javalia.
are you going to be coming with us,
I don't think you'll want me there. I don't think you'll want me there at all.
You wouldn't like me when I'm there.
Who's everyone in this Wizard of Oz casting that you guys have hoisted upon the situation?
Cassius is the scarecrow. I'll call that right now. That's not even hard.
Oh, cowardly lion right here. For sure.
the one Sharga, without armor is the Tin Man, Seth.
Sharga has to be the Tin Man, right?
She's got Honto's, the axe. She's got the Honto's, axe.
Honto's Dorothy.
Honto's Dorothy. That makes sense.
He's always jumping up and down and clicking those heels together. He's doing great.
Really, it makes sense. Honto is Dorothy because Dorothy just wants to get home. She doesn't have any other desire. She just wants
Dorothy,
to get home.
Dorothy doesn't want to be
like
there.
Honto doesn't want to be a pirate. He just wants to go home and do something other than be a pirate, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think it fits.
I mean, sure.
Plus, Honto's the only one who could pull off that dress.
Probably.
Have you guys not met Bartleby? Bartleby is right here. No, he's not. Right, as you walk downwards, kind of a very gentle slope, you pass what looks like kind of swampish, fetid jungles, kind of overgrown on top of what seems like fungi-infested ruins and perhaps broken statues and things that have kind of fallen into the wet, damp soil here. Where you think your senses would be kind of assaulted in a place like this, you don't smell really anything. Maybe perhaps a little bit of ozone and water, but nothing that would kind of make you think of a swamp in real life. As you walk, you come across what looks like a small sea, but it's so shallow. It's like half a foot deep. The water here is still, it's dead still, flat, indeed, kind of a pale gray, milk-like, I guess. As the mists part here, you see perhaps dozens of shipwrecks, broken masts and bows, kind of just sticking at odd angles out of the ground. And you see some familiar names of vessels as you walk amongst them. The Wick, the Hardjack, the Sea's Surprise, and recognize perhaps these ships as indeed... Yeah,
the Sea Prize, as we call it.
Sea's Prize. These are all vessels that were sunk by the Chelish Navy. And as you come to the center mass of these ships, you see indeed the Kraken once more here, the Master of Gale's ship. And set before this massive shipwreck is a large chair, large kind of driftwood created chair. Not really a throne. It is a fairly simple chair, but made of things you would find here. And sitting in it is indeed an admiral of the Chelish Navy, a single leg resting over one of the chair's arms, reclining, drinking from a silver goblet, and behind her stands a few guards, one of which is a very large, imposing-looking black knight woman decked out in obsidian plate mail. It's...
Cassius will gesture to all the vessels around him and say, "To be honest, I would have thought your tally count would have been a tad higher than what I'm seeing here. I hope this is more just like an appetizer to what the famed Chelish Navy can actually do."
The Black Knight goes to reach for a sword, but the figure kind of in the chair waves a little. Save for the elven ancestry, it's a very lithe figure. Could almost be like a sister of Alaris Delcarin, indeed, from that same area of the inner sea. But she definitely has somewhat darker hair, perhaps browner eyes.
Half-sister.
This is the somewhat maybe like glistening or shimmering form of Admiral Thrun, the youngest admiral of the... Her dress uniform kind of looks like half Royal British Navy, maybe half a certain uniform that Hugo Boss designed in and around the 30s,
you know, 40s. One of those, you know.
It's like a cross. But yeah, she's got gloved fingers and seems to idly run her finger through some of the dust that's caked over the area here. And she says, yes, lots of vessels have accumulated here and so many more in other locations. Thank you all for coming here to meet me on neutral territory. I've had my sea legs for some time, but I must admit I've never gotten used to this in-between place. It's...
Hardly feels neutral when we're surrounded by your trophies, though. Have to be honest about that.
In places like this, your past seems to have a way of following you. You must be Captain Cassius Vell. And I'm sorry, is there no one else with you where no other captains have come?
Oh, don't sound so disappointed. You do have one of the greatest up-and-coming lords here to visit you, and I am breaking quite a many rules just to get this audience, so I do have high expectations, miss. And he takes his hat and does a little bow.
A rule breaker? That's certainly odd for a pirate, I imagine.
I know, it's quite out of character.
I'm
I'm somewhat of a rule breaker myself. You see, the Navy seems to kind of frown upon fraternizing with the enemy, as it were. But yeah, unfortunately, we don't have the chance to meet in person, for you must have just missed me here in Drenchport. We came through very quickly, but I'm happy that you have accepted this chance for us to meet here in this place. But please, where are my manners? You must pardon me. Drevalia, Admiral of the Chelish Imperial Navy. 100 years ago, my family crest brought order and peace to the divided houses of the Chelish aristocracy. So instead of beheadings and betrayal, we got many years of prosperity and stability. And we made deals with our devils, both literal and figurative, to achieve this goal. The shackles, they've been in chaos for countless centuries. There's no structure. There's no order. You kill off your Hurricane King and snatch the crown for whoever comes next. And for what? The next pirate to sit on the throne will get rich. The wheel will turn around. Then they will be killed. And the cycle will continue. I have set my sights, really my entire life up until now, on these fair isles of yours. It's really been my only mission in life. Just like how House Thrun quelled the fires of the Chelish Civil War, I too will try to snuff out your nation and instill as myself, as perhaps the first governor of the integrated isles of the southern Chelish seas. So that is what I've been up to. Tell me about yourself, Captain Cassius. I'm sure you've got grand ambitions.
Ah, yes, Miss Thrun. Please, I hope it is Miss Thrun and not Mrs. You'll break my heart if that's the case. But I am Cassius Vell, Lord of, well, many, many places at this point. And, you know, we actually, our ambition is pretty closely aligned because, like you say, Shackles is disordered and it is chaotic. And usually the Hurricane King would die or be usurped and the wheel would turn, as you so eloquently put it. But we have had a Hurricane King sit on the throne for a mighty long time, very comfortably. I don't know if you've ever had the privilege of meeting Kurdak Bonefist or knowing too much about him, besides what the stories say.
He's a very hard figure to pin down. Let's put it that way.
I have shook hands with the Bonefist itself, and...
Gross.
You have no idea.
Is it really made of bone?
Aye, from his elbow down to the very tips of his fingers is nothing but bone. Hence the name, I suppose. But point being is we are aligned in some ways that this man cannot continue to just sit on the throne. I know you said that you're a bit of a rule breaker and you don't like fraternizing, your nation doesn't like fraternizing with enemies, but perhaps we don't have to be enemies quite yet.
That is what I'm here for. We have things in common. We have mutual aspirations and, well, we have things that the other wants from one another. So, yeah, let's can we attend to some business perhaps before the inevitable meeting of our ships on the shackled seas and in combat? I'd like to talk to you, Captain Cassius, about an exchange of prisoners first.
Please. I'm all ears.
Well, I'm happy to report that we've taken the Master of Gales alive and over 51 souls of his crew. We're proposing that you can exchange all of them for, well, one of the hostages that you've seemed to keep. You have in your crew's press gang, no doubt, against as well, one Mr. Bartleby Findling, is that right? And we'd like to take him back to perhaps meet his family, and in doing so, perhaps we can avoid some things like the trial and execution of the Drenchport pirates. What do you say to that, good sir?
The Master of Gales and 51 souls, that seems like a very high price to pay for just a single halfling. Yeah. I hope you'll indulge me curiosity in illuminating me with why one with such short stature might be worth such a high price.
Oh, we take the exchange of citizens of the realm very seriously, and well, I've been moved to tears of his family's story. We have them. They're all safe. And well, we just want him reunited with those that he calls kin. I'm afraid I will have to insist on this peaceful transfer, perhaps before we can move forward and into other terms and deals. And if you don't agree to this, it could somewhat sour what we have moving forward. But, you know, we've moved on from Drenchport now, and well, we're soon going to be acquiring more of your friends.
I imagine you're quite close to Hill Harbor at this point.
Oh, that's where you think we're going, yes. Sure. You see, the more of your friends that we take, the more I'm going to have to weigh the scales, and perhaps it'll be a little harder to save their necks after that. So if you want to agree to this now, then we can assuredly have a contract written up. I know some very good legal aides that would be able to contract something, you know, just a few hundred pages of scrolls.
It is a little odd that, because I hate to sound cold-hearted. I know we pirates are known for our soft spots, but you are rather offering to eliminate some of the competition I face on the seas. As nice as your deal is, as much as renown it would bring me to have made a deal with the Chelish and bring back the Master of Gales himself, it would also do me quite a favor if you just killed him and all of his people. Perhaps then I would be able to lay greater claim to the shackles myself. Your deal seems a bit shallow at the moment.
Captain Cassius, if you would like me to behead every pirate that I meet on the shackled seas, if that will bring you joy, I very much can see to that being a possibility. Let's just say you think about it, perhaps until the next day's sunset. And when we meet upon the open seas, if your black flags are down and we carry a white flag, we can see to more agreeable terms. But as I said, any longer than that, and this deal could be null and void, as the scales will have changed by then. Am I to be understood?
I appreciate the time to think it over.
The woman in the plate armor behind her kind of whispers something in her ear, and Trevalia kind of looks over towards you, Candoso, and says, I apologize. I am sorry. I'm supposed to remember who you are, aren't I?
Candoso's eyes haven't sort of left hers this whole time. He's just been like staring daggers.
I've heard
Candoso will reply, no, I don't suppose you would remember me. I don't begrudge you that at all.
I heard that there was a druid that sailed under the flag of Captain Cassius, and I didn't think it was this Master of Gales. He seemed to have his own crew here, but I have a lot of trouble with the names of some of you lot. The woman behind her kind of whispers something else into her ear and says, oh, I see. We've crossed paths before, Mr. Candoso.
We have.
Right. Then I suppose this isn't a happy reunion then. My bodyguard here, Valeria, tells me I might have been the cause of some pain in your past some time ago.
It's in the past, but the future is in the future, you see.
I agree.
Don't worry. I'll see you very soon.
I hope so, and I'm sure this means very little to you. I apologize for what happened. I was a very hasty youth, and I got in a lot of trouble, believe it or not, for playing very rough with my toys, you see. I just didn't understand what I could and could not do. And I'm a lot kinder to my slaves today. Much kinder, if it makes you feel better. Your brother's passing taught me one of the most invaluable lessons I ever got when I was younger. I've not had one other slave accidentally die under my watch. I mean, they do gain their scars and bruises, but I am absolutely certain to get them to the clerics immediately to heal them back, to restore their strength before they perish. I was scolded quite a lot as a youth, and believe it or not, I was quite punished for your brother's passing.
Well, I'm very sorry for your many indignities. One hopes that more will not befall you soon.
Well, thank you.
Best of luck, Trevalia.
Well, it seems like our time here is coming to an end. I know you're going to hate me for this, Captain Cassius, and I apologize for all the rigmarole, but you had to understand it wasn't as simple as just meeting up here. If I didn't get my way, I was, you know, kind of planning on doing this no matter what. So you all seemed a little reluctant to acquiesce to some of these demands here. And as a true daughter of House Thrun, I've been instructed since time I was a toddler to give a show of force when things aren't lining up for us. So I beg you, please survive what is to come, and we will meet again and we can play with one another once more in this little tug of war. She begins to wave goodbye. Just so long. And she and her guards, this Valeria, begin to disappear. Valeria, as you have not taken your eyes off of Dravalia, Candoso, Valeria seems to have been completely affixed to you, staring at you this entire time. Yeah, they're only about 10 seconds out before they're like completely see-through, and then they're gone from this place. But they've left friends for you guys to hang out
friends.
With.
Friends? I love yeah. friends.
And I could not decide what friends, so I'm leaving it up to you guys.
I thought you say, so I picked all of them.
Would you like to fight two very mean friends or six less mean friends? I don't know. I guess easier to hit friends would be the yeah, way to describe it.
That's what I'm thinking, is maybe the six easier to hit friends. That'd be my vote. I love easy to hit friends.
Well, I get to roll more dice. I guess that's the trade-off.
That's also true. Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying. I love them when they're easy to hit.
Yeah. I mostly just like when they don't do triple digits of damage with crits. So
that's also true.
I'm thinking the two mean friends could do that. So
let's not do those guys.
Let's compromise and make it five less mean people.
Well, it was going to be like seven if her name came with you. If doesn't Verwin came with you, but
oh,
you're gonna hate.
Well,
this.
She seemed nice. I mean, you know, all things considered,
yeah.
I don't understand what Candoso has against her. She seemed
no. She's
part of Candoso's backstory. But I mean, other than that, we never like met them.
She's been quite behind the scenes, I guess, as it were. But indeed, this seems to be the person who was contracting Mr. Harrigan.
Yeah, good job. I absolutely thought she was going to ask for Harrigan back. I wasn't expecting the Bartleby Findling request.
Oh, I mean, she's been hunting for a Bartleby Findling for some time.
Well, yeah, but I didn't think she was going to offer her up. I thought maybe both, you know, but I didn't think it was just going to. I didn't think she was just going to ignore Harrigan completely. That's rough.
I'll be honest. I don't know why she wants Bartleby.
So you could probably just give up. You got two characters, Jabert. Just give up one of them.
No, you only need one.
Yeah, I think we should.
I mean, if you listen to our special Starfinder 2E playtest, you need just a half a character.
That's all you
at least
need.
At least one half, and you're probably good to go. Okay. All right. Well, this is the laziest map making I've ever made, but You're on like a void, so what? The map is void just map. A blank white map. I thought I had downloaded some like shipwrecks to add to this, but no.
We're in the void.
Deep, dark void. Can you guys roll me a initiative roll?
Yes, and as I do this, I yell a mighty battle cry and demoralize and observe.
Demoralize who?
Is there an observe foe at the moment?
Why don't, if you beat this initiative check, yes, you know where they are. You can see where they are. If not, no. Okay, well, that's pretty good. Can I beat this?
Better.
Oh, yeah. I think I just need to beat your dice roll. I think we're very similar. Yeah, just by a little bit more. Yeah, no. No, you can't.
Man. What am I rolling initiative for then?
Grand question, because I think multiple other people have beat this initiative. There is not the flapping of wings, but you hear what sounds like the clacking of
bone, the chittering perhaps of a rattlesnake's kind of tail, shaken sound of bones together. And let me show you some artwork.
These bone things rattling bin.
these fun little friends begin crawling over the wreckages of the ships nearby. These guys.
Oh.
Yeah,
it's kind of like a, well, I guess I would call it a bone demon.
So they wanted to make a deal and then they're sicking people on us?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, it's the whole show of force. Although I guess probably if I had said, yeah, you can have him, no problem. Here he is, actually. I brought him.
Take him right now. Take him back through your mind portal. It would have been the end of the episode if that happened. I'd be like, oh, cool. Whoa.
It's too bad they weren't like, whoa. Oh, no, actually, we want Kovic. I'd be like, here he is. Go for it. Knock yourself out.
Who?
I don't think any of the other party members would appreciate it, though.
Ah, wow. Well.
Didn't we used to have like another orc in our party? Nope, never did.
No. I will meta game for the sake of Cassius's power hungry grabs.
Okay, what did I roll on initiative? I didn't roll better than Cassius Vell, who is. You spy these things perhaps as they are coming out of hiding places. They seem to be like kind of one of them just emerging from the soil, the swampy water itself.
Hmm. Gross.
And there's six of these things. They are 9.5 feet tall, I guess, if they stand up on some hind legs. They're large looking creatures.
Okay. I'm going to guess they don't know common. Maybe they do. Let's find out. There's one off to my west. I'm going to insult it.
Reading. Just in common?
Hold on. Let me see my languages. I feel like common's my best guess, my best bet with the languages I know.
It does not look like, if it's language dependent, they speak it.
I didn't think so, but I had to try.
Yeah, you're in their turf, buddy.
Makes perfect sense.
When in Rome, do what the Romans do. When in whatever dimension these guys are in, you gotta talk another language, apparently.
Yeah. Let's then use one turn to pull out some weapon, or one action to pull out a weapon. And then let's use another turn to
move action.
I don't think there are move actions in this game, but you know what I mean.
An action to move, you mean?
Yeah.
And stride?
Out from Cassius's elegant, whatever those things. What are those things that pirates wear? The big old
pants
things. You know, pants. Yeah, pants.
Pirate
out
pants.
From, out from his pirate pants, his wings unfurl.
Oh, I thought you were taking your pants off. I was like, no, no. All right, your wings are out.
And I fly straight up.
Exciting. These guys. I know. These guys have wings too. I got to imagine they can fly.
Yeah, I know.
I guess there's technically leather on the wing, so cause they gotta have something to fly unless it's magical. Okay, Honto, I didn't beat a 40 either. What do you like to do?
So, is this whole area swampy?
It's not enough to be difficult terrain, but it does seem that's kind of the vibe here.
It's okay.
Fetid swampland.
It's a light theme. Okay.
A moat.
I can say this is not a normal realm. This is a bad place that you don't want to go to.
Let's see.
Bye-bye place.
Spoiler warning, it's not the good place.
They can't take us to the bad place. Spoilers, by the way.
If Honto were to move in the way I have just demonstrated, would that incur any attacks of opportunity?
Honto, high-level monks just have super speed.
Correct.
No. No, it looks like you were good 15 feet away from these bad boys.
Okay. I just assume since they're big, they probably have attacks of opportunity because that's usually something that big creatures have, just to make sure they're a nuisance. Yeah, that's one move action, by the way. He has 65-foot move speed.
Okay, so you're saddling up behind one of these these devils. Nani style.
They're bony, so I'm wondering if there's resistance to piercing here. Only one way to find out. Let's see. Actually, I'll have to take an action to switch stances. So let's do regular bludgeoning first and see what happens. I don't know where this note came from. But at some point it says that I have disrupting on my unarmed strikes. I don't think that's accurate. I don't know when that got added. I was trying to figure out where that came from.
Hmm.
But yeah, 34 to hit.
Well, that is a hit.
Okay, 26 bludgeoning damage.
Okay, well, they do have resistance. At least all of that goes through.
And 29 to hit on the second attack.
29 is going to be a miss.
Okay. So it's somewhere between there, folks.
Got a little bit of a spread.
And why not? Hail Mary third attack. Okay, we already know 24 is a miss, so.
Toot, toot. All right.
Got two on the dice.
All right, these things clamber up over the ridges of the ships and begin, like, combination flying and rushing in. A lot of them are going to have to make two move actions. Let me just double check here. Yup. Okay, let's make some attacks, and it's gonna be rolling a lot of d20s here, but pretty much need some double digits, I think, for most of you guys. Let's start with Cassius. A couple attacks going to you, Cassius. What's your armor class?
37.
All right, well, the one is a miss, and the 19 is a hit.
One? Well, you know what's about to happen to you?
Oh, no, I forgot. That's the thing that happens.
Repose.
I hate to bring this up, but mm-hmm. Do you have reach?
Oh, yeah. Can you use your...
Yeah, yeah.
A gun or...
Yeah, I've got reach. Sure.
Tyler's... Can you do opportune repose with a gun?
Tyler's a worse liar.
I think I delivered that great. Let me look and see if opportune repose... I'm almost positive it has to be.
20 piercing damage. Oh. Taylor.
Okay.
I'm gonna do an attack against Candoso.
A foe within your reach critically fails to strike again.
Okay. No attack of opportunity. That is a miss. I can get two attacks on Sharga from this one that's flown up to her. Oh, hey. Oh. This is the second attack. What's your armor class?
37.
Okay. Natural 20 on the second attack. That is a critical hit.
Okay, but you see the whites of Sharga's eyes fade to red as she enters a rage.
Sorry, Tyler. I told you two less damage than you. Two more damage to what she got. And then this is 47 points of piercing damage. Sharga, and...
I have a question.
Yes.
So I have, like I say, I enter a rage when I take damage. Do I take the damage first and then I enter the rage? Or do I enter the rage and then I take the damage because I have piercing resistance?
Is it a reaction?
I think so. Yes, it's a reaction.
I think, I think it can happen.
It says you
basically
take damage, so that's the trigger. So you critted on me as the first attack?
No, critted on the second.
But the first attack didn't hit.
Correct.
Only the second. Okay. Okay. So yeah. Take the full crit damage, but then I enter a rage. And I don't have resistance before I enter the rage, so I take the full damage.
This one flies over to you, Seth, to Honto, and instead
the damage on that?
47?
47.
Instead of trying to bite or claw you, it is going to try and hit you with its stinger. Stinger hit. Great. Miss. Second attack. Also a miss. Three. This one's going to try and bite you. More fancy stuff. And it is right next to you. So three attacks.
Oh, Chumbawamba. Oh, boy. Okay. All right. Well, you've got the B team of these bone devils on you, Honto.
I'm okay.
Three. Sharga, we are on to you.
Okay. Sharga is going to... I'm going to unleash a terrifying howl, which allows me to attempt to demoralize anything within 30 feet of me, which I think you've moved all of your creatures within 30 feet of me. So
I had to. They don't really have a ranged. Oh, I guess they do have a ranged attack. But yes, you're within 30 of all of them.
Great. So I'm going to try to demoralize them all. Is there an order I should do these intimidate checks in?
What's the ability? I think you just make one, right?
Is it just one? Attempt intimidate checks, plural, to demoralize each enemy within 30 feet.
Okay, we'll be here for a bit, but let's go clockwise from the one on you.
Hey, Paizo, don't do that in the future. Just make it one.
You're fighting 50 kobolds.
Like, could you imagine? Good All lord.
Right. Well, critical success on the first, so I'm going to be putting statuses on them for a bit. Critical success on the second. Just
regular success
on this one. Yeah. Oh boy, critical success on the Rebecca's just dropping so many. An 18 or 17.
Rebecca, these
19.
Need to be attack rolls. These need to be attack rolls, Rebecca.
Well, everyone's going to, it's going to be a little easier to hit all of these things.
How many are so, there? How many checks do you need?
I need one more. I need one.
Oh my right. God.
Yeah, that's a success. So, wow. All right. So four critical successes, two successes.
That was fun. Okay.
They can't be.
Where are their immunities?
I'm going to step forward to the one on the right and strike with my great axe.
I swear.
Yep. Not a crit.
Classic.
34. This is a hit.
At least. Oh!
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
It's a five on the dice, listeners. I was freaking out.
38 slashing damage.
Okay. Not all that damage is getting through.
Oh, I should have changed that to acid.
Next time.
I will next time, yes. Okay. So,
is it all three of your actions?
Bludgeoning, they have resistance too. Yeah, that's everything.
No, Honto seemed to mess him up pretty good.
I thought you said that not everything went through on bludgeoning.
I said Honto's attacks went through. What are you?
Okay, let's see. These guys are frightened right now, and I really want to take advantage of that. I was going to move closer to Honto and then pop a haste on everybody. But when do you get six enemies all around you that all are taking penalties to their saves? Just doesn't happen, does it?
No.
I think we're gonna have to I'm gonna have to cast a chain lightning.
Oh boy.
A level 8 chain lightning. So that is a basic reflex save, and I think we're going to start over here with the one over here that is on Cassius.
Go okay.
Counterclockwise around the loop, and then we'll if any of them critically save.
I should mention that these two on Cassius are up in the air at his level, so
how,
I don't think
how
that.
How high up is he?
What? How far can he fly, Tyler?
Well, since I can't bon mot them, I can't fly very far. So I can only move 25 feet. So I'm like what, 10 feet up in the air? If that.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Yeah, no, I got them all. I'm good.
All right. So you want to start
Patrick, you don't need to chuckle laugh at my. It's not my fault. You summoned monsters that couldn't speak common.
Oh, okay. Sorry. You want to start with this one here?
No,
this
the one here. Up in the corner. Up
okay.
The corner.
So I'm making reflex saves against what DC?
The DC is, I will tell you. Right now, 38.
Good. What?
38.
Okay. All right. I'm going to roll 60-20s clockwise order. Yeah, single digits is not going to be good for me. All right. Well, we got some, including critical fail.
But the real question is, what's the first one? That's the real question.
The 18 on the dice. This first one's at a minus 2, so it's really kind of like a 16.
Yeah.
Is a fail.
Oh, my.
Yes.
All right.
Guess what? It's 2 crit fails and 4 fails, I think, because of Sharga.
Oh, Sharga coming in here.
Oh, man.
Oh, heavens.
Actually, hold on. The last one. Oh, no. The last one has got a minus 2. Yep. That 19 is a 37.
30. Oh, my God.
Goodness gracious. Okay. So let me roll some dice here.
And they have terrible reflex saves then.
Good to know.
Well, most of them have like a minus 2, so
73 points of damage on a fail. Jeez. 146 on a critical fail.
Cross a couple of these guys out here. That one who rolled a 1 on the dice. And 1, 2, 3, 4. This one. It's just, yeah. The 8 is a critical fail, so he's also dead. All right, 2 down. And the rest are taking 73?
73 electricity, yeah.
Okay.
All There's right. No glad we brought Candoso.
And
are you sure you don't want to go back and fight the two big devils? Because I think they had spell resistance or some other equivalent thereof.
I'm just shocked to see a spell be effective.
I mean, yeah, when you were like, do you want six weaker guys? I was like, ooh, please. Ooh, yes, 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 yes. That one.
Kaz is freaking out.
And then third action, I'm going to put up my shield. And that's my turn.
All right. They're all in various states of bones cracking as you see lightning kind of pulsing through them. Most of them are very hurt. This one on Sharga, one on Honto are nearly destroyed. Sorry, I'm just going through and doing math. Adding 73 to a bunch of numbers. We're back to Cassius. Turn two.
All right, I'm going
to
pop a shot at the Sharga one.
Okay.
45.
A critical hit? Yes.
Is it dead? Is it dead?
Horny.
This is bludgeoning.
Oh, is it... No. Well, how much damage? You have to tell me the damage, and then I'll...
Okay, Jabert, help me through fatal again.
So you're using the shooty gun.
Shooty gun, yeah.
Though that would be piercing, right?
It's so. Bludgeoning or piercing. Round ball.
Okay.
Round ball.
All right. Well, I don't think that's how bullets work, so. But cool. Yeah, so you reroll your damage with the D8. So since it's fatal D8, you reroll, like if you have three damage die, you roll 3D8, and then add your static to it, double it, and then add one more D8 on there.
Jeez. Okay, yeah, so it has the concussive trait. These weapons smash as much as puncture when determining a creature's resistance or immunity to damage. Use the weaker of the target's resistance or immunity to piercing or bludgeoning. So in this case, it'll be bludgeoning.
So
that doesn't matter for you.
So like in this case, you've rolled... So 48 plus your static. So like let's say like knock off that last D8. So it'd be 31 times 2, 60, 2 plus that 4 plus that extra D8. So 66 damage.
66 damage.
Sorry, I clicked the roll critical damage for you.
Oh,
that's fine. No, I appreciate that. So, I was looking up traits.
Yeah, I didn't. I was like, is this gonna do it? Is that all we need to do? Like, why are we walking through the numbers? You roll it yourself, Tyler. You don't take my good roll.
What? The die have been cast. Oh my gosh, I can't believe you're doing this. Oh, eat my shorts, Patrick. Eat my actual.
I wanted to see 4 ones on 48 so bad. Oh gosh,
listeners, I rolled the exact same number that Patrick
spoiler had warning spoiler warning. Yeah, yes, and also some eights in there. So I'm sorry, how much is that all together? It could be enough
all together. I don't know, whatever. So, Jabert said,
well, so it's actually a little different now because
the number is actually less, I think.
Yeah, it's yeah, so it's 62 now because 62. Because like your last D8, it was an 8 this time, so you lock that one off, then multiply that by 2, then add the 8 back in. So, yeah. So 62. Okay. Yeah.
Why am I lopping the last 8
on? Okay, 62 is enough to destroy this one, despite...
Oh, hey, yeah, okay, cool.
Does seem like the DR does work.
Fatal means that you change your damage die to whatever it indicates, and then after you calculate the... critical damage, you then roll an additional die of that same number.
Right.
After you do the doubling.
After you do the doubling. So it's like deadly on top of upgrading the damage.
Deadly with panache. Yeah. Cassius, your second action?
Yeah, that was just one action.
I'm going to move and reload while I move here.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to move next to Sharga. Okay. Candoso's inviting me to be side by side. And let's see. I'm going to take a second shot at this one closest to Candoso a little bit. We'll see how that goes. Oh, I you know what? Well, I rolled a natural 20. Who cares?
Ooh.
I'm cracked. I'm absolutely... Never fight me on the astral plane, or I will astrally plane your buttocks into the ground.
Your guys' minds are in hell right now. You're not on the astral plane.
Look at that damage.
I rolled a 6. Okay, I won a 62, I guess. I have no idea.
Heavens.
62 is not enough to kill this
one. 63,
actually.
63, he says.
It is bloodied, though, or bonied. It's boned. Oh, boy.
Yeah,
oh,
it's boned, beat up.
All right.
Oh, boy.
Turn.
We've got one still on you. A giant arc of electricity knocked another one off. What do you like to do?
Hey, let's try a single strike here.
16 on the dice. Critical hits.
Oh my god. We're going nuts.
You guys sure you don't want to roll like a 1 or 2 anywhere in these 15 plus numbers? Yikes.
So I guess it's 34 bludgeoning damage on that hit.
34 is not going to be enough to destroy this one.
It's unfortunate. Right?
Wait, that's with the critical?
I rolled critical damage.
That should be on top of your normal damage, right? Or
no, it's time. It's the macro has it as times 2. He just rolled really low.
Yeah. Okay. Second action.
That's unfortunate. Maybe I should have done a flurry instead. Oh well. Too late.
I mean,
yeah, you can still flurry.
Yeah, you can still flurry. The second one.
I just used one action.
Oh. Oh, you wanted to save your flurry for...
I was going to do a flurry on the second one, but I think I probably should have done it on the first one, but...
Makes sense.
Yeah.
They were both beaten up, bloodied up, but this one just had a little more HP.
Yeah. In that case, I'll do a flurry now. Why not? 3-4?
Yeah, that's a hit.
20 bludgeoning, and then... that's...
The 20? Yeah, because... Spoiler warning, these guys do have some great physical DR, not against silver, which I think monk strikes
you
at like level, I looked it up, level 9?
Yeah, I get it pretty early.
Yep, so moving up to the next one, your turn?
Yeah.
Okay.
See, metal strikes, when do I get that?
This one's going to move over to Cassie. Oh, wait, no, move over to Kendoso.
It's level 9.
Nah, I get it. Oh, shoot, he got me. He figured me out.
So I apologize, my cat is talking to me.
Oh, okay. This one's going to try and sting Kendoso first attack. Okay, 6 on the dice. We'll try that again. We'll try to get a 20. Oh, it's a 2. It's a 2.
It was very close to a 20.
When I have lesser... things. I also roll lesser. This this one is going to, I guess, try the same for Ponto. Try to get you with its stinger. It has a tail that kind of looks, you know, like I said, part rattlesnake, part scorpion's tail. It's whipping it around trying to catch you with it. A bunch of attacks. 2-2-2. 11. It's the first one is the best one, and that is still a miss.
AC 41.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I need to roll like a 20, so don't feel too bad. Sharga, there's still 2 of these things left. What would you like to do? You really, really, really goofed me up with that shout, Rebecca.
Yeah. That's right. Just move, right? All right. Sharga's going to move right in between these things. And hold on one sec. Let me check out my feats. I am going to whirlwind strike and make an attack against each enemy within my melee reach, which is both of these things.
Oh my goodness.
Each attack counts toward your multiple attack penalty, but do not increase your penalty until you have made all your attacks.
So these both are your first.
First attacks, but then after that, I'll be done.
This is quintessential spin to win strategy.
All right, so this is against the one to the south, the 31 to hit.
That is a hit. 2 on the dice.
Yeah. All right. That does 41 slashing. No, acid damage. Acid damage.
Well, that's enough to kill it.
Yay. All right. Here it goes.
The one flying up by Cassius.
39 to hit.
39 is just a crit because of the it's so frightened one.
It's a frightened.
Yeah. All right. That does 77 acid damage.
Okay, we're at combat. That was a quick one. What a, like a turn and a half.
You're saving the day.
what a series. I wish we were fighting the boss.
I wish Druvalian stuck around to hear that.
Feat. I haven't used that before. That's a brand new one.
So. Whirlwind is great.
Yeah. If it makes you feel better, I have these two fights planned. We'll just do the other one.
Yeah, do it next week. Do the other one right now. Like, we can do the other one right now if you want.
Yeah, you guys are, your dice are hot, but that or whatever happens next is a tale for another time here on Dead Men Roll No Crits. That's you.
He ends the episode early when we're rolling. Have to, like,
now we're going to be like,
we've been recording for like an hour and a half, but yeah.
Oh, have we? Oh my gosh. Yeah.
But most of that was us like goofing off.
So. Yeah, there's no. Yeah, originally I was just going to, like, next week's episode, you're just, like, out of this place and on to other adventures. But now you have to fight your way out of hell. You have to fight all the devils in this place and No, we'll just extend book six.
That was not my final form.
Right. That's going to do it for us as we see our heroes amidst a pile, giant piles of devil bones. barely scratched. I think I got a couple good hits on folks, but that's about it. That's going to do it for us. So guys, thanks for playing with me.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you, Patrick. Listeners, thanks for listening. From Patreon Pirates down to Freebie Captains, we will catch you on the next week's episode here on the Mineral Grants.
Yarr! Yarr!